to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth.
Well, you could say that 30 years ago, Anne Rice brought some sympathy for the devil with her gothic novels, Interview the Vampire, and the sequels that followed. Since then, she sold more than 100 million copies of her books, and she's so over vampires. She's moved on to Riches and then The Life of Christ, and now we're talking about angels in her books. Her newest is out today. It's called Of Love and Evil. It's a sequel to the first part of her Songs of Seraphim trilogy. And it follows a man who was once a brutal government assassin and is now helping out an angel traveling back in time, this time to 15th century Rome, to help a Jewish man there escape from accusations of poisoning. Anne Rice joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, it's funny that as your travel as an author through the different sides of darkness, one should say. I mean, you do have a fascination with dark, whether you're talking about good or evil in your books. But that's kind of paralleled your journey, your personal journey, something that you've talked about publicly in terms of your religious views.
Oh, I think it definitely does. Everything that happens in my personal life somehow or other winds up in my novels, even if they sound completely fantastic. And it's the same way with Of Love and Evil. My own spiritual journey is kind of mirrored by the hero Toby O'Dare, who's walked away from a life of one kind of living, being a government assassin. He's experienced a conversion, and now he wants to do good. And in my own life, I've experienced a conversion, and I wanted to write a different kind of fiction, a more positive kind of fiction after that.
Since the vampire novels, you mean?
Yes, right. And by the way, I have never regretted writing those novels. I think they mirror a lot of my obsession with good and evil and faith and a journey for faith. And they're, in their own way, metaphysical novels. So it's not that I made a clean break with all of that. It's that I moved on to a different kind of metaphor, really.
Well,
writing about angels is very different from writing about characters that are doomed.
Well, I would imagine that one of the reasons you're so passionate in that defense there is because you took a lot of criticism from some Christian groups about the vampire novels, mainly because they thought you were glorifying a basically evil, demonic figure. And that came up when you wrote very publicly. And let me read your quote that you wrote. I quit being a Christian. This is after you went back to your Catholic views. I quit being a Christian. I'm out. In the name of Christ, I refuse to be anti-gay. I refuse to be anti-feminist. I refuse to be anti-artificial birth control. I refuse to be anti-Democrat. I refuse to be anti-secular humanism. I refuse to be anti-science. I refuse to be anti-life. In the name of Christ, I quit Christianity and being Christian. That was as you turned away from all organized religion. Does that change the shape of these novels that you're writing?
I don't think it does at all. I'm still a believer, and I'm still very much of an optimistic believer. I believe we live in a world made by God, and I believe that God loves all of us in a completely individual way. And that'll continue to inform my fiction. I just felt, as was clear from that statement, that I had to leave organized religion and a lot of the things it concerns itself with.
Although, you know, if you look at the Apocrypha, Anne, and some of the literature that's been written about angels, I mean, they may not be doomed like vampires, but some of them are not exactly happy characters. They have some fairly miserable and challenging lives.
Well, that's really true. And the Apocrypha is filled with the battles between the good angels and the bad angels. No question about that. And I'm just in this novel for the first time getting into the question of a bad spirit, a demonic spirit. And
the Dibbuk, you mean, that's in the Jewish man's house.
Well, not that spirit. It's another spirit that Toby encounters at a banquet. He wanders off to a banquet in Rome, and he runs into this mysterious friend who turns out to be some sort of spirit who's not there at the behest of the angels. And he challenges Toby and plants doubts in his mind about the very illusion of his life, what's going on with him. And to me, that was very interesting to explore that, because I think no matter what kind of a conversion you experience, you remain a human being, and you're going to have some doubts and some fears.
All right. Well, Anne Rice, since you already brought up the connection between you and Toby, and since this book Which is a great it's a great thriller slash mystery with all kinds of action going on. But really, the book to me seems to be more concerned with the development of Toby's soul than the actual solution of the mystery, although he does solve it. So let's connect it to what you just said about the temptation that with this evil spirit coming up. Is that connected to your movement away from the organized religion?
I think it is in some way. I don't think it's that literal a connection, but I did want to get those doubts and fears in there. I think when you first experience a conversion, you do have great consolation. Everything is beautiful to you. You've found God again. You're happy to be back with him. You're grateful to be back with him. But then you have to live in the world, and you have to live with your own faults and your own limitations, and you don't have that consolation every minute. There are times when you're very doubtful, when you're fearful, when you're angry, maybe when you don't know the answers, and you have to make a conscious effort to renew that trust in God and that he knows the answers.
Well, have you already finished the third part of this trilogy?
No, I have it completely worked out, but it's going to be a bigger book, and there'll be a lot more about Toby's life in our time as well as the mission that he goes on. But I've deliberately put off writing it for a little while to give Toby time to grow in my mind.
Are you done with vampires, or has the current obsession with Twilight and the related affiliates made you want to revisit that subject matter?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I finished that work in 2003, and I wrote 12 books with vampires. I mean, I really felt it was enough. I had told just every story that I had in my head with those characters, and I could not go back. I really am enjoying the vampire craze now because I'm not writing about vampires.
You can enjoy them now that that's not your business, right?
Yeah, I get to watch True Blood on HBO, and it's a lot of fun.
Anne Rice, a best-selling author of more than 24 books, including, of course, Interview with a Vampire. Her newest is Of Love and Evil. It's the second in her Songs of the Seraphim trilogy, which is out today. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Why are you doing that music, Jay?
Sympathy with the Devil.
It should be, just call her Angel of the Morning.
There you
That's
go.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
That's what the music
should be. She said
she
was done with
She's
this Sympathy
the
for
page,
the Devil
babe.
Since 2003. Jeez, you're so early 2000s.
But True Blood, Twilight, they're all walking in the footsteps of the master, Anne Rice.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's surprised by the success of Twilight, or if it's just like Brady Bunch meets
vampires.
No, she
said she can enjoy it now because she's not writing it anymore.
Vampires are forever.
That seems sincere
for me. Just like angels.
Literally forever, unless you put a stake through their hearts. In any case, I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.